Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bob Boozer episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 124, which is in honor of him ranking 124th on the all-time rebounds list, as well as being an Omaha legend. Recording this one on the afternoon of Thursday, October 23rd in the year of our Lord 2025, my name is Logan Wortman, and before we get into anything, I would first like to say thank you for listening. Please be sure to hit us up on Patreon or buy me a coffee if you would like to support us. That's patreon.com/hooptheory and buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All of our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would also greatly appreciate it if you would rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we would also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to. Basketball related or otherwise, you can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. And now, without further ado, let's get into today's topics, which is just going to be one topic of a bunch of different, you know, subtopics, I guess. It's the season predictions. I know that I said, you know, just now that the date is Thursday, October 23rd, that I'm recording this. So the season has officially started for the NBA, but for me, it's a little different. The Nuggets, they have their first game of the season tonight. So technically, as far as my primary fandom is concerned, the season has not yet begun. And that is why I still feel comfortable recording now a season predictions for NBA awards and the winners of the title, or, you know, the winner, I guess, would be singular there. And then also the other titles like Western Conference Finals and Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm going to take a look at that today. I'm going to give you my picks, maybe some honorable mentions for each one. And then also, in conjunction with that, after I give you my picks for each one by one, I will look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which I'm just remembering now to actually pull up that page and have it ready so I can navigate there while I'm doing this. But I'll pull that up to look at the odds for what other people are actually thinking about. Because I have no idea, honestly. I haven't listened to anybody's predictions for awards yet, or looked at any odds for them. So there's a few of these awards, like especially like Sixth Man of the Year, that I'm like, I have no idea what other people are going to put. So I'd be very surprised, or I'd be very interested to look at those. But I don't want to look at them before I make my preliminary picks, I guess. You know, I might give you a revised pick if, like, I see somebody that did not pop into my brain at all, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this person, and I think that they have a really good chance, maybe I'll give you, like, a revised pick type of thing. But to stand alone as my original pick that I make without, you know, seeing anything, my just hip-fire, you know, quick-trigger thought about who's going to win each award, I'll give those first up top. So, starting off with the big one, MVP, the Michael Jordan Trophy, my pick is going to be Nikola Jokic to win his fourth, which should be, I mean, you could argue his sixth, you know, over Embiid in 23 for sure. I think Jokic definitely should have won that one. Although, you know, to give Embiid credit or his flowers, that next season in 24, those first 35 games that Embiid played, at that point, I was very comfortable. I thought for sure we were going to see back-to-back Embiid MVP. So I thought it was going to go back-to-back Giannis, back-to-back Jokic, and then back-to-back Embiid. And that was going to be like that era. It's crazy how differently that turned out just because, you know, he goes down after the 35th game that he played that season or whatever it was. And then he was just done. And that has been like the major turning point of his career, Embiid, the way people were viewing him. Because he had reached his pinnacle, like the very top of the top of the best possible Embiid iteration. He was at that. And then all of a sudden, injury. And he's played maybe that number of games since then, about 35, you know, in the season and a half since then. And it's just not looked the same at all. I'm recording this after his debut. I didn't even watch that game because it wasn't one of the national televised games. I watched the ones that were on the ESPN and the NBC broadcast for the two opening nights. So I missed the Celtics and Sixers, what happened there exactly. But I saw the box score. I saw that Embiid scored 4 points, I think it was. 4 points and six rebounds, I want to say, in like 20 minutes. I didn't see that he fouled out or anything. I'm guessing it has to do with health, I would assume. I still haven't looked into that yet, though, so I need to do that. But before I do that, but you know, I got to record this episode. As I said, Nikola Jokic will be my pick for this year's MVP. I was just going into giving a little, you know, credit to Embiid that I feel like he had it that next year in 24, even though I do feel like Jokic totally deserved it 23. And then in last year, SGA, I think it was pretty neck and neck. You could go either way. I personally would lean, trying to remove my bias of being a Nuggets fan, I do think that I would slightly lean Jokic last season, but just barely, like just depending on the day, really, because of how you want to change what you value more and like the team success. Like, it depends on how much you're weighing each of those factors. You know, I kind of go back and forth on how much team success should matter, but how much should it matter? You know, should it matter when a player is having like the best season of all time, essentially, and carrying a very lackluster roster to 50 wins rather, and honestly, a competitive playoff showing, going to 7 in the second round against the eventual champs. You know, that situation versus a player who's like the offensive leader for an all-time great defensive team, arguably the best defense in NBA history, by the numbers, is the best defense in NBA history. And then being that sole offensive engine to just, you know, carry them above water on that end of the floor, enough to just completely dominate games and win 68 games in the season. You know, so like, how much do the wins actually matter there, the difference in the wins in your conversation about the MVP? To some people, matters a lot more than others. Anyways, though, I digress. My honorable mentions, my number one honorable mention for the MVP this year at the moment is SGA. I did type most of this document out before I watched the Spurs game last night with Victor Wembanyama just... I'm going to talk about that more in next week's episode when I'm giving a full kind of recap of the games so far this season. That will definitely be a topic that I touch on. But yeah, that was just insane. The level that Victor Wembanyama, he just made my jaw drop and my brain turn to mush multiple times during that game. But... so he is my second honorable mention, and that was before I even watched that game. I had him listed there. Might even raise him up a tiny bit higher, but I hesitate to after just watching one game so far of the NBA season. And a big factor with him is health as well. Luka is another guy I had written down. I think there's a bit more of a drop-off than I previously anticipated between Wemby and Luka, I would say, just because of how the Lakers don't seem like they're going to be... Like, the team around Luka is just very, very lackluster. It's going to be a lot for Luka to carry to get to a record, get to a place where people are comfortable giving somebody on the Lakers an MVP nod. So, he'll definitely be on people's ballots. That's for sure, but I guess more so being the number one vote for people on their ballots. And then I have a little bit drop off from Luka down to Ant, and I actually think maybe I might move that drop off to before Luka instead of after Luka,
I think that makes more sense. I kind of feel like Luka has dropped down to be on a similar tier as Ant with the Wolves, because I think the Wolves will be have like a record that is worthy of having an MVP type of nod given to them much more realistically than the Lakers. I think they'll be around 50 wins, I would guess. The Wolves, Lakers, I think mid-40s maybe is what you'd most likely see. And then Giannis, I think I also put a little bit of drop-off between Ant and Giannis just because of, again, his team is terrible, you know, for the most part around him. Gary Trent Jr., I'm surprised how people were not expecting him apparently to have that big of a role in fantasy, basketball fantasy, both leagues I'm in, or both platforms, I should say, ESPN and Sleeper. Like, they were just astronomically low on Gary Trent. He was like in the 200s or something like that of players ranked. I had to scroll down really far to pick him in the middle of the draft where I got him, you know. But it was definitely worth it. That's crazy how low people. And Cole Anthony. Him and Cole Anthony are two guys that if you're a fantasy basketball player or a participator, I guess, those are two guys that are going to be way more, they're going to have a lot more opportunities, a lot more load than you would think, you know, based off of their careers so far, just because of there's no ball handling, no scoring options on the perimeter at all on that team outside of Giannis, obviously. But anyways, now that I've got the sports book pulled up, which I guess is actually locked because I am in Nebraska. Let me see if I can just get away to view it. I'm not trying to place any bets, I promise. Okay, I got to the awards now. This is... Oh, wow. I'm surprised by this. So, Shea is in the lead. He's plus 190 to win the MVP this season. As opposed to Victor Wembanyama, who's in second, actually. Just slightly ahead of Jokic in third. But Vic is... I've never called him Vic before, I don't feel like. But Wemby is at plus 340, Jokic at plus 350 in third, which I think by the odds, I might make a bet on this, honestly. I know I just explicitly said I'm not going to, but I obviously can't right now. I will be going to Colorado, though, for watching the home opener for the Nuggets on Saturday. So while I'm there, maybe I'll place a bet on it. I actually don't even know if betting is illegal in Colorado. I think it is. I'm not totally sure on that, but if it is, then I will place a bet on that, maybe, if I remember. But I think that's good odds, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Jokic and having the third best at plus 350 feels a little long. And then Luka Doncic in fourth with plus 500. So I did have the same top three as this sports book does, just in a different order. And the same top four and the same top five, actually. And this, wow, okay, same top six, I should say, because Ant is in the top six, although he is a very deep drop-off from Giannis. So I, as I said a little bit ago, I felt like Luka and Ant were on a similar level for winning the MVP. But Luka is plus 500. Anthony Edwards is plus 2,700, which that's crazy. He's more than five times less likely to win the award, apparently. Giannis is in between them at plus 1,500, which I think are all right odds. Like, I think that's fair. But the Ant one feels a little long. So that's honestly a pretty good value bet, I would think, also. But, yeah, there we go. That's interesting. But it is similar. I'm not too surprised by it. There's no, like, really surprising things other than I was expecting Jokic to be more... I felt like he would, if I had to bet on the betting odds, you know what I mean? Had to bet on what the order of the betting odds are, I would have bet that Jokic would be one, to be honest. So that is a little bit of a surprise to me. But scoring champ is the next thing. I know that's not an award, but it's just a thing that people kind of, I mean, it is a little bit like of a, just a public court of opinion or court of public opinion award type of thing, but it's not even opinion. So I shouldn't say that either. It's like a culture type of title, you know, you can win by having the most points per game every season. And SGA did that last year. I can't remember if he did it the year before also. He might have. I know he was in the contention for it, at least. I think Luka might have edged him out, though. Luka might have averaged like 33 points, I want to say, in his last like fully healthy season. The year he took the Mavs to the conference final, or to the finals rather, 24, I think. Yeah. So SGA, he might have done the last 2 years. If not, he was in contention both years. But he is my pick to be the scoring champ again this year. Honorable mentions, though, Luka, like I said, the guy who just was there recently. I put Ant as with a question mark after it. Don't feel as good about that one, but honestly, I can't think of many people after SGA and Luka, to be quite honest, who's going to be in the 30s for, you know, points average. Other than this other guy that I have three question marks after, which feels like maybe one too many, but especially after watching the game last night, much higher on this potential possibility, Wemby. I have him listed on my honorable mentions along with Luka and Ant for the scoring title, and I feel like that is much more realistic now. So maybe these odds that I'm looking at, these odds may have been updated since, you know, these past two nights of games. So maybe that's why Vic, I keep calling him Vic. I don't think I've ever done that. But Wemby, I feel like that might be why he jumped a little higher, maybe over Jokic. He might have not been over him just the other night before that happened. So there's that too that I didn't previously think about. But the scoring, I guess, is this a thing that's in FanDuel, I guess? I didn't think about that. I assumed that there would be, though. Futures. Season averages, points per game leader. Okay, there we go. I found it. Shea is the top of the... I didn't even think of Giannis. That's crazy. I know I just said, like, there's not anybody I can really think of, but I was totally blanking on Giannis, who I just got done talking about in the MVP section. He's definitely a guy that could average 30-plus. It probably will. I would bet on him averaging over 30 points per game this season, and that obviously puts you in contention for this award, or not award, but title. I'm putting him on the list right between Luka and Ant is where I'm going to put him on my honorable mentions list. But he is second for the odds. Yeah, he's plus 270. Luka is plus 380 in third, and then it drops off quite a bit down to Anthony Edwards at plus 2,000. Nikola Jokic at plus 2,200, and then Devin Booker at plus 3,300, which is an interesting top six. And I expanded it to see everybody else. Victor Wembanyama is tied with Booker at 3,300, and so is Jaylen Brown, which I think all make some sense. Jalen Brunson is another guy who might, but with Kat there putting up a lot of shots, it's going to be tough. But he's a guy that could crack at least close to 30 points a game. Cade Cunningham, though, is above Brunson in the odds. He's plus 5,000, just after Jaylen Brown, for the ninth spot in the odds. The rest of these, I mean, I think Donovan Mitchell is pretty low. I see him pretty far down here at plus 10,000. I think that's probably pretty decent odds, to be quite honest. Michael Porter Jr. is on here at plus 40,000. Which is fun. But so Victor Wembanyama is not as high as I thought he would be on here. And also, if people are wondering, the reason why I don't have Jokic, I've not mentioned him at all me thinking that he's going to be the scoring champ, is because this season with the Nuggets, I mean, last year he was very close to it. He was right under 30 points a game, 29.8, I want to say, which is by far the highest of his career so far. You know, when I say by far, it's like 2.5, 2.7 points per game, I think, jump from his second highest.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
So Jokic last season averaging almost 30 points a game. I thought that was something that Jokic would never do in his career because of that's just against every, like, you know, bone in his body, every ounce of his philosophy or like the way he carries himself on the basketball court. He just is way more deferring and would like to orchestrate things. If Jokic is scoring a ton, that means things probably aren't going ideally for the Nuggets. It's a sign that something's going wrong. So this season, with having like the best roster around him, really, and maybe ever, is his career, arguably at least, it's close with the 23 campaign. And then maybe also the right after we got Aaron Gordon at the trade deadline in 2021 before Jamal and Will Barton and Monte Morris all got hurt before all of that happened. That team was also looking very, very good. So maybe that is in the running as well. But I would say that this is definitely up there as well for the team around him this year. And I think that he's got a lot of scoring options, a lot of options to pass to, make plays, and orchestrate the offense in a way that's not necessarily him putting the ball in the basket all the time, which is going to be the way that he defaults to. So I doubt he's very close to 30 points a game this year. I think it'll probably be more like 25 points per game, that range. So that's why I don't have him in here as an honorable mention for the scoring champ, but those odds are interesting. And then Defensive Player of the Year is the next one. That is an actual award, so I will need to go back to where I just was. Awards. There we go. This is fun, listening to me navigate FanDuel's website. But Victor Wembanyama is obviously the... I don't want to look at the odds yet. I'm jumping all over the place. I'm sorry. You can see when I don't edit quite as much how just rambunctiously ADHD my brain actually is. But Defensive Player of the Year, my pick is going to be Wemby. That's what I have written down. And obviously, I just saw that he's the top of the odds. I didn't see anybody else after him. But that is, I would have bet my life on that he would have led the odds. And he is a negative favorite, just like he was last year, which I thought was wild. This year, it's much more, I think, reasonable. But last year wasn't unreasonable, just kind of a crazy thing to be a negative odds leader for an NBA award heading into the season. For an award as competitive as the Defensive Player of the Year, you know, it's probably the least repeatable or least, like, you know, we've had players win more MVPs, more of most awards, more than they've won Defensive Player of the Year. So I think the record is 4. Gobert has the most at 4 in a career versus Kareem with 6 MVPs. So I guess it's in a similar ballpark. But anyways, yeah, I think Wemby is the clear favorite for the award this year and every year for the rest of eternity, probably. But minus 185, I think, was the number that I saw him at just a little bit ago. My honorable mentions, though, that I have written down, which I might have not finished. I have a comma written after the final name on here, like I was going to type more. I don't remember if something distracted me and I moved on to a different one before I was ready to finish it. But what I have written down, though, is Evan Mobley, Chet Holmgren, and Amen Thompson are the three guys I have listed as honorable mentions. Let me quick try to rack my brain to see if there's any other honorable mentions I could come up with. I think that maybe, I mean, this is a long shot one, but Donovan Klingon comes to mind as a rim protector there in Portland. If Portland is like a surprise, really good team, which I feel like they are capable of, or like it's maybe in the cards, you know, for this NBA season as who's going to be the surprise shock team. It might be the Blazers being like a six seed or something in the West, which would be insane because of how competitive it is. But yeah, if that happens, I think Donovan Klingon is probably going to be just a terror on the defensive end. And that team as a whole is going to be a valuable or viable defense, you know, competing in this NBA. So, and at that point, then you got to throw him in there, at least on a ballot maybe. So there's that guy. There's Ivica Zubats for somewhat similar reasons, but, you know, much more established. He was close. I think he was 5th or 6th in the voting last year, and he was all defensive second team last season with the Clippers, obviously, Ivica Zubats. Who else? We got some guards. Lugens Dort last year was pretty high, I think, in these contentions. So is Draymond Green. He's getting another year older, so I doubt he's going to be really, really in the inner circle, but he could be. He's right there. Jaren Jackson Jr., a guy who's won it in the past. He's still in his prime. I would think that he would probably be on at least the fringes of it if things work out for the Grizzlies. So those are some of the guys that come to mind. Defense player of the year, I'm looking at the odds now. I didn't even think of Anthony Davis, but he definitely should have been a guy I mentioned. It's just kind of the health thing that is a factor with him. If he has a fully healthy season, he's definitely going to be in the inner circle. If not, then obviously he's not going to be reaching the 65 game mark. So like betting on Anthony Davis for any award is like his odds are just so nerfed or so like dwarfed because of the factor of like you're more betting on him reaching 65 games as a minimum, like, which is like that's a crazy bet to make, because if you could bet the opposite on that, if you could bet on him not hitting 65 games, I would place like $1,000 on that at the start of every NBA season, and I would make a lot of money doing that because I'll be more generous and say like 7 or 8 out of 10 times you're gonna win that. Is definitely conservatively the odds on that, I would say. But anyways, he's fifth on the odds list at plus 1,800. Chet Holmgren is in second, who is my was that my top honorable mention, or was Mobley? I have Mobley and then Chet. That's the order I wrote it down, at least. But Chet is second at plus 650. And then Amen Thompson. I was just thinking, when I said there, is because I was thinking about, have I called Chet just Chet by his first name this whole time? I feel like everybody does that with him. It's because he's like the only NBA player named Chet, I guess. But I feel like for some of my listeners that don't, aren't as like in tune with the league, if they're in, I'm like their source of basketball news and coverage, saying his full name would help. Just every once in a while, Chet Holmgren is who we're talking about. Amen Thompson, though, is third, and that's a pretty big drop-off from Chet down to Amen at plus 650 versus plus 1,500, respectively. And then Evan Mobley tied with Amen with the third best odds at plus 1,500. And the only other guy listed, at least without pressing the show more option, is Dyson Daniels at sixth with plus 2,200 as his odds. And now that I hit the drop down, I see Draymond Green not too far behind him. And then a big drop off after Green down to Ivica Zubats at plus 6,000, who's tied with Asar Thompson, Amen Thompson's twin in Detroit, who I would argue is actually maybe the better defender, but just hasn't been quite as healthy so far in his career. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. at plus 6,000 also tied with them. Jalen Suggs, that's a nice honorable mention to throw in there. After a little bit of a drop-off down from Jaren Jackson Jr. And then tied with him is Lugens Dort, as I mentioned. And then Donovan Klingon, the guy that came to my mind, is in here at plus 10,000, I should say. Plus 10,000. Bam Adebayo tied with him. Same with Rudy Gobert. And Walker Kessler is the guy I thought of at the same time that I thought of Klingon. I just think there's way more of a chance that the Blazers have a good enough defense for people to look at the roster and think of a defensive player of the year candidate than for the Jazz. There's no way that's happening for the Jazz. That's why I think that they shouldn't even be close in odds, but they are tied actually. And then OG Anunoby, big drop off down to him, which I think is a little crazy. Giannis Antetokounmpo to Monte Kamara, who I am honestly kind of sad that I didn't throw in there as an honorable mention, but that is one of my favorite guys in the league for sure, to Monte Kamara. There with the Blazers in Portland as well as Klingon. So I think that honestly bolsters both of their chances of winning it if the Blazers are a good enough defense to warrant it. As I said before, my pick is Wemby. Pretty boring pick, but it's the right one. Honestly, if he just stays healthy, it's pretty much guaranteed. Rookie of the Year, the Wilt Chamberlain Trophy. The Defense Player of the Year was the Hakeem Olajuwon Trophy. I believe I forgot to mention. But Rookie of the Year is the Wilt Chamberlain. My pick is another boring one, Cooper Flagg. This one is definitely not as surefire, though, to me, as the Defensive Player of the Year is. He might be negative odds. I think I would be a little bit surprised by that, though. I think he should be about even, like plus 100
just about. Trey Johnson, though, is my first honorable mention listed, the sixth pick out of Texas to the Washington Wizards. And then Ace Bailey, I also have here, who was the fifth pick, I believe, to the Jazz. I'm pretty sure they had fifth out of Rutgers. And then VJ Edgecombe, who just dropped 34 points in his debut with the Sixers. He was the third pick. Dylan Harper is the second pick. So, yeah, I just literally have the top six picks. I did not notice that I did that in that order. But Dylan Harper is the last guy I've listed. I actually have, for the honorable mentions, I have them in reverse order. So my pick is the guy who was picked first. And then my honorable mentions, it goes 6, 5, 3, 2. Okay, so I'm missing four. Who's the fourth? Con Knipple. That's who the fourth pick was. I don't have him in my honorable mentions, but he would be close. I would have him after Dylan Harper, I would think. Like I said, I think that would be close. Other guys I can think of. Somehow, if a miracle happens and Yegor Demin is like just making things work with the Nets, that could work. Jakachonis on the Heat, if the Heat are, they have like a super great season and he's like their sixth man or something, a really vital contributor, then I could see that maybe. But outside of that, I can't think of anybody else, to be honest. Nick Clifford, I guess, with the Kings is the most like NBA ready guy, I feel like. But those are the guys that first come to mind. I guess people who, this is their technical rookie season, but they were in the draft last year. They just were injured and didn't get to have their rookie season last year. Daron Holmes, I don't think he's very close to being in any contention for this, but he's just a guy to mention, I guess, that I wasn't even thinking would be, you know, in this conversation or eligible for it, but he is. Same with Nikola Topic in OKC for the same exact reason. And Topic is much more, I think, could possibly be in this conversation. But who knows with how deep the Thunder are with guards, who knows if he's even going to be in the rotation, but he could be. He could be. He has the talent for sure. They've just got a lot of guys with talent in OKC. And it looks like AJ Mitchell might be that guy off the bench that gets those minutes. That was put on my radar heading into the season, but then game one of the NBA season confirmed that with him scoring 16 points in 15 minutes off the bench. He's not a rookie of the year. That's just him taking the spot or opportunities away from somebody who could be a player who would be in the contention for rookie of the year, Nikola Topic. And so looking at the odds for rookie of the year, they don't have the player pictures for any of them, I guess, which is interesting. They must just have the headshots from last season as the player's picture. But Cooper Flagg is in the lead, and he is negative odds, just a little bit less than Victor Wembanyama. So Vic, this is the third time I did it. I'm just going to roll with it. Wemby is minus 185 for Defensive Player of the Year. But for Rookie of the Year, Cooper Flagg is minus 165. So pretty close on that. But it's somebody who maybe this is updated since the game last night. VJ Edgecombe, as I mentioned before, dropped 34 points and win in his debut of his NBA career. He is plus 250 in second, which is a lot ahead of the guy in third, which is Trey Johnson at plus 1,400, who is my first honorable mention. And yeah, looking at this, I don't feel that bad about my honorable mentions because it's the same exact list they have here, except they have Con Knipple thrown in there in addition to all the people that I had said, because they have Trey Johnson, as I mentioned, in third at plus 1,400, and then Ace Bailey in fourth place at plus 1,900. Dylan Harper at plus 2,000 at fifth place, and then Con Knipple in sixth after a bit of a drop-off, which I think matches what I thought, at plus 3,500. Anybody else, though? We've got Jeremiah Fears after another even bigger drop-off down to 7,500. Hanson Yang, which they have his name flipped around, which I think he had that in like the draft combine or something like that. His name was in that order, but his name is Yang Hanson. For out of China, plays for the Blazers. He was the 16th pick, which was a surprise pick. But he's very skilled, big man. People are calling him Chinese Jokic. But he's plus 7,500 as well, tied with Jeremiah Fears in New Orleans. And then Walter Clayton Jr., which I think is a decent long shot bet, plus 7,500. Kasparis Iakoumenis, the guy, one of the guys I mentioned, and I forgot to mention Cedric Coward, but that would have been a good one for me to mention as well. But both of those guys are plus 8,000. Yegor Demin is plus 10,000. Nick Clifford is a guy that I did mention, plus 10,000. Nikola Topic, the guy from the Thunder that I mentioned, is plus 10,000 as well. And so is Ryan Kalkbrenner, who I have heard apparently is going to be the starting center for the Charlotte Hornets, which is interesting. But yeah, out of Creighton, shout out, honor, or required Creighton or Nebraska mention whenever those guys come up. Seeing as I'm based out of Nebraska, for those, if this is your first episode listening, Ben Saraf is the next guy, though, after a pretty deep drop off to plus 1,500. Colin Murray-Boyles, plus 1,500 as well. Jace Richardson, Derek Queen, Kamon Malawach, which I think is not a great one. I think that is a little high for him. Will Richard, and yeah, I think that's enough to mention there. So that is the Rookie of the Year. I honestly think I saw, before I closed that little section, I saw Johan, I forget how to pronounce his first name. I hear people do it with a hard J, the Johan, but I don't think it's that. I think it's Johan, or it's J-O-A-N. I hesitate to say Johan because there's no huh, there's no H in there. So maybe it's just like Johan, but he's from France, Johan Berenger. As I was saying, the reason I brought him up, I feel like he's a decent long shot bet. I saw him at the very, very bottom of the odds, and I think he might actually play for the Wolves, to be quite honest. He's just a specimen. But anyways, next we have the Coach of the Year Award, the Red Auerbach Trophy. My pick, I have Eric Spoelstra, just because I feel like he could mess around and finally win this award with the team that he has there. I think that because, you know, a big part of the Coach of the Year is a team vastly outperforming what people were anticipating for them. And then oftentimes that is attributed to the coach because they're like, this roster shouldn't do this. Why is it doing it? It must be coaching, which I think is a little bit of a flawed thing and sometimes isn't the case. Like sometimes it shouldn't just be given to the coach. Sometimes players change things. Sometimes, you know, the way players fit along other people and make adjustments, like it just works a lot better than people were expecting, regardless of who the coach is, you know. But in most cases, that credit is given to the head coach, the brain trust there. And so I think that might be something that goes in the favor of Eric Spoelstra this season with the Heat in a very weak Eastern Conference, might win a lot more games than people are expecting. Honorable mentions I have, David Adelman, the classic like first time head coach or first season as head coach, having like a turnaround or something with the team. Those guys are often, you know, favored or given like pretty good chances in this award. Chauncey Billups, as I was mentioning before about the Portland Trailblazers breakout, which I don't even think is like super likely. I just feel like there's a decent chance of it, like a 30%, 40% chance that the Blazers are like a bit of a surprise team for people. And in the case of that happening, I think Chauncey Billups will be a very good bet for this award. Mitch Johnson is kind of similar to the David Adelman one. First season as like the actual full-time head coach in San Antonio after Greg Popovich has stepped down as head coach, obviously. He's still in the front office, though, as the president. Mike Brown, another one for his first season as the head coach in New York with the Knicks. J.B. Bickerstaff, this is his second season, but I feel like kind of similar with the Chauncey Billups one. Maybe the Pistons just are like gangbusters this season. And in that case, J.B. Bickerstaff will be a decent candidate. I didn't even think about it until just now, but Rick Carlisle, for like the reason of what if Indiana's like good this season without Halliburton, without Miles Turner, that would be a huge shock and would be a very good case for Rick Carlisle, I would think. So he might be pretty high up in the odds too. I forgot to write him down, but he would be a good one. Now looking at the odds to compare them, somebody I didn't even think of who is in the lead apparently, Jamal Mosley with the Magic, which I think is kind of wild. Most people think of like in the NBA like circles, you know, with writers and podcasters, it seems like the consensus with the Magic is like a lot of people like the team more than like the coach. They think if anything, like the coach is one of the sore spots of the team in a way. So that kind of surprised me a little bit that he would be given a lot of the credit for the Magic being good, which a lot of people are expecting him to be good this season, but not necessarily because of the coach. Some people think that the coach is what's holding them back a little bit. Like if they had a better one in there, it would be, it could raise the ceiling. So Quinn Snyder, though, is right behind him at plus 650. I don't know if I mentioned the number for Jamal Mosley, but he is plus 600. But Quinn Snyder right behind him with plus 650 with the Hawks, which is a similar situation, although I think Quinn Snyder is much more highly regarded as a coach or a tactician than the Jamal Mosley one. Some people view Mosley as like on the hot seat somewhat. Not the case with Quinn Snyder in Atlanta. And then J.B. Bickerstaff with the Pistons, he is third after a bit of a drop-off down to plus 1,000, but that's the first name that I actually had written down on my thing. Mike Brown is tied with him at plus 1,000, who's another name I had written down. Ime Udoka is right after a tiny drop-off down to plus 1,500. With the Rockets is who he coaches. I believe most people probably know that. But Darko Rakovic is the coach of the Raptors, and he's tied with Ime Udoka at plus 1,500. Another guy who's tied with that is Tyronn Lue, another Nebraska. Got to mention that he is a Nebraska alum. Plus 1,500 for him. And then Nick Nurse with the 76ers is also plus 1,500. So is Joe Mazzulla with the Celtics. And then J.J. Redick, there's a drop-off there down to 2,200 from 15. Eric Spoelstra with the Heat is all the way down here. And that was my pick. So that's crazy. And David Adelman is plus 2,500. Spoelstra is plus 22. Mark Daigneault, I think, is crazy low also. Because the Thunder could win 70 games this year. You know, and he's plus 2,500. Rick Carlisle is plus 2,500. So yeah, these are all the guys that... Yeah, that's crazy. They're not even really close to the top of the top of the candidates. I think that one's a little weird, the Coach of the Year odds. I don't super trust them. But at least I'll have this to document it and be able to look back and see if they were close at all, if there's any validity there. But yeah, I that was the most disagreement I've had for sure with the odds on that one. And then on to Most Improved Player, which is the George Mikan Trophy. My pick for this one, this is actually the only award that I've seen somebody predict on TikTok. One of my followers, I'm sorry, I can't remember, maybe Hoops Hub, that might be the name of the account. Sometimes I see his videos right when I open the app. I usually don't use TikTok that much, like actually using it. I use it more as just a creator. So the only content I really watch is the first video that it shows me. I'll hear that one out, you know, I won't scroll though. And so sometimes I'll see some of his videos. I saw the beginning of his awards one. I didn't want to continue watching it because I didn't want to be influenced before I recorded this. But I saw the video that he, or at least one of the, maybe it wasn't the first one. Maybe he predicted Jokic's MVP. So maybe I did see two of his awards. But the first one I was like, I know I'm going to pick Jokic, you know, for MVP. I didn't feel too influenced by that. But MIP, I did have Andrew Nembhard and so did he. So I feel a little bit less, you know, early on this one. But yeah, I felt like that was a guy in my brain that I was like, I feel like he's going to be the make or break thing for the Pacers this year on whether or not they're competitive, like whether or not he steps into like another level while having the Tyrese Haliburton void on their team. If he fills that in a way that he has good production. And I kind of feel like I've said this in a podcast before, but I this is a take that I kind of like. As what if Andrew Nembhard is Derek White? Like, I kind of feel like we might get to a place where we view Andrew Nembhard in that same type of tier or same type of level as Derek White, which maybe, you know. So I'm just keeping an eye on that, I guess. So that's my pick. But I do feel like Ben Mathurin, one of his teammates, is another guy who's a very good candidate for this. Just having more opportunity, more touches. Matis Bezelis. There's another guy I have listed. He's going to be a second-year man, but just still, I figured I'd throw him out there. With the Bulls, Denny Avdia with the Blazers, he's already kind of had a bit of a step up, and he was a candidate for MIP for sure last year. But, you know, if he takes another big step, that could be him as well. Amen Thompson, I think he's definitely in play for a big jump. I think even more so, Asar Thompson, his twin, in Detroit, just because his stock is much lower than his brother's at the moment. Reed Shepard, just because he barely played last year in his rookie year. Cole Anthony, and also Reed Shepard will have a much bigger role now this season with Fred VanVleet being gone with the Rockets. But Cole Anthony, as I was mentioning just a little bit ago with the fantasy stuff, the reason I have Cole Anthony and Gary Trent Jr. in here is because they're going to have a lot more opportunity this year with the lackluster backcourt options that they have in Milwaukee.
Evan Mobley, if he takes another big jump, which I think would be crazy, but I'm not ruling it out, I guess. Santi Aldama, which is one I actually kind of like a lot more. I probably should have mentioned him earlier. I just kind of listed a bunch of names here. Rob Dillingham in Minnesota as a backup point guard if Mike Conley's cooked, you know, this season. Or even if he's not, even if he's taking just a steady step down, he's like a backup point guard at this point probably in the NBA. Or at least if Mike Conley's the starter, then Rob Dillingham being a really good backup, you know, that could also be the case. But Jalen Johnson in Atlanta, I think, would be, if he takes a jump yet again, I think he's a bona fide all-star. But I think that's in the cards as well. Jaden Ivey in Detroit. Quentin Grimes, who almost made his case for it last year, but he's also on the list here for me out of the Philadelphia 76ers. And then Paolo Banchero, another one that would be a huge jump, or not necessarily a huge jump, but if he were to make a jump, then he would be, there's not much higher he can go. You know what I mean? Like if he takes another big jump, he's like a top 10 player in the NBA. Franz Wagner, somewhat similar thing, but just slightly, you know, a little bit farther down, but his teammate there in Orlando. And Zion Williamson. I don't even know why I put him on here, but like, what if we finally just have like the Zion season, you know, then I think MIP is in play for him. So I put his name on the list. But I will look at the actual odds though. On this one, most improved player, Amen Thompson is in the lead for it at plus 750. Josh Giddey is in here, who I didn't really even think of because I kind of felt like last year was, but I probably should have, to be honest. That's actually a good one. That's a good call. Josh Giddey being at 2. Benedict Mathurin at 3. Matis Bezelis tied with him at 3. And then Denny Avdia, Andrew Nembhard, Shaedon Sharpe out of Portland. Sarah Thompson, Derek White. I didn't think of that, but that's not a bad pick. Reed Sheppard, Peyton Pritchard. Jonathan Kuminga makes a lot of sense just because he'll probably get a lot more minutes this season. Trying to raise his stock because the Warriors are going to want to try to find a trade for him. Or if he just hits and plays super well for the Warriors, then he'll be a part of the Warriors, which is also a win. I think those are the incentives for them wanting to play him more. But Brandon Miller is tied with him out of Charlotte. Nikola Jovic, I think, is a decent pick. Victor Wembanyama is in the odds for this award as well. And after that, yeah, we just got a lot of names that I won't go into. But I see Obi Toppin as I'm scrolling. I think that's a not a bad one with the Pacers as well, filling in the Miles Turner void somewhat, at least getting some of those minutes. But yeah, so those are my picks, or those are the odds, rather, for the most improved player for the 2026 season, which is the George Mikan Trophy, as I said before. And I already did Coach of the Year. And yeah, so now we're on to the Clutch Player of the Year, everybody's favorite award. It's kind of a joke. A lot of people don't really like it. It's kind of growing on me a little bit. Like I was more in favor of it right when it started. Then I was kind of down on it for a while. Now it's growing on me again. But Anthony Edwards is actually the top odds, which I don't want to look at that yet. I keep doing this in the wrong order. Clutch Player of the Year. My pick, I have Luka Doncic, which I don't hate, honestly. I forgot that was my pick. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good one. Honorable mentions, Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero, Jokic, Jalen Brunson, Devin Booker. The reason why I went with Luka is because I feel like the Lakers are going to be, they won't be like destroying teams. They'll be in a lot of close games, which is a big part of this award. Somebody who's put into a lot of clutch scenarios, having to keep pulling his team, you know, out of it, getting in wins in those spots. I think Luka could have a pretty good case this year. He's third, by the way, in the odds. Jalen Brunson, who's last year's winner, he's second. Anthony Edwards, like I mentioned, is first at plus 650. And then Jokic is tied with Luka at plus 1,000. For third place, and so is Kevin Durant at plus 1,000. And then Trae Young, a little bit of drop off, not even really a drop off, just tiny step down to plus 1,200. With the Hawks, Steph Curry plus 1,600, and then Shea plus 2,000 with Cade Cunningham, Ja Morant. Then a little bit of drop off down to De'Aaron Fox, who was the first winner of this award a couple years ago. Probably three years ago now, because I think DeMar won it after the year after him. So I think it's gone Fox, DeMar, DeMar DeRozan, that is, and then Jalen Brunson. I believe those are the only three clutch player of the years we've had. Actually, now that I'm saying this, I think DeMar DeRozan was just my pick the year that I'm thinking of. It was actually Steph who won it, though. I think Steph Curry won Clutch Player of the Year that year. But regardless, those are the odds leaders for that award, the Clutch Player of the Year. And now on to Sixth Man of the Year is the next award we'll be looking at. My pick, this is the most, like, the one that I think I said this in the intro, actually, for Sixth Man of the Year, that I'm like, I have no idea. I just kind of put down some yeses, and I don't feel like they're going to be very in tune with the odds, because it's hard for me to even think about who's going to be coming off the bench all that much, like enough to be eligible for the award, because, you know, you have to come off the bench more games, or at least equal number of games that you start. So let's say you play 80 games in the season, you need to come off the bench and at least 40 of them to qualify for the award. So that, with that thing, it's kind of hard to tell with health and stuff of the players in front of them, or the players in the starting lineup, whether or not a player will actually not start more than half their games. And that is the case with my top honorable mention is Josh Hart, who I've written down. And that is, you know, he could vary with Mitchell Robinson. I bet that he probably won't even meet this requirement. He'll probably start too many games this season. Heck, who knows? They might not even start Mitchell Robinson when he's healthy. He might actually be the sixth man in place of Josh Hart, to be quite honest. But anyways, it just seems like the two bigs lineups is very popular at the start of the season, like more popular than it has been in recent memory, and it's starting to trend that way the past couple years now, and I feel like it's finally reaching an all-time, because it's a coming back thing. It used to be the norm, having two bigs, your power forward and center, but now it's becoming like a thing where players who have been playing center basically their whole career now are becoming power forwards. And so, yeah, in that case, that's the reason why I thought Mitchell Robinson has a decent chance to start if he's healthy, and put Kat at the four. And that would move Josh Hart out of the starting lineup to the bench. So he's my top honorable mention. My pick, though, I have Lonzo Ball. Just, I watched the Cavs game the other night, and also I was thinking about this before. As long as he's healthy enough, you know, and he just looks like he's going to fit this team so well as a guy who can just share the love, such a connective passer. It's a shame that he's been so unhealthy the past, like, 3 years. He's barely played. But before that, before he got hurt, like, he very quickly became like one of my favorite players in the league, as just a role guy coming in, playing his role, defending the hell out of the ball, and being a great team defender as well, and just loving to just be a connective passer. Like, he's just a touch guy. Like, he's getting the ball, and also I feel like his range on passes is just so much higher than most players his size. Like, the way he looks ahead, looks like for players so far away from him to make a bullet pass, he just has a lot more feel for that than I think most people do. And he gets a lot of rebounds. Like I said, plays good defense, and can hit threes now. Also, he's a spot-up shooter. So if all of those things, like if he doesn't have any rust and he looks good in all those areas and it stays healthy, I think he honestly is a good pick for Sixth Man of the Year there in Cleveland. And then Naz Reid, just because, you know, he's a perennial top three vote getter for this award. Bruce Brown, I have listed down for the Nuggets, just because we don't have really any backup guards unless Jalen Pickett really does hit this year. If not, though, then I think Bruce Brown will be pretty vital coming off the bench, playing a number of different positions, probably playing a lot of minutes, probably at least in the 20 to 25 range. And then, looking at the odds, though, for it, DeAndre Hunter is in the lead for it, who's starting the season out. He's injured at the moment, but playing for the Cavs, obviously, which I just think, like, he's going to be the three. I feel like when push comes to shove, their best starting lineup, he's going to be starting at the three, especially with Max Strus going to be out much more of this season than Hunter is, I believe. And so I think Hunter's going to get quite a few games logged as the starter. Regardless, though, Naz Reid is tied with him, though, at plus 1,100. So is Josh Hart, who I just threw out there, which I'm kind of surprised by that people, other people are thinking he has that much of a chance to qualify, because I don't think he will. But Tari Eason is right after that at plus 1,300 with the Rockets. I don't think that's a bad pick. Anthony Simons, another guy. I don't know if he's going to start or come off the bench. I'm not totally sure. John Collins, though, another guy. I feel like he could start. I don't know. I didn't watch
I didn't see the Clippers game yet. The box score, I don't think. I'm honestly not sure if they've had their opening game yet. But regardless, if they have, I don't know if he was in the starting lineup or not. I'll have to look at that. But yeah, he's plus 1,300 as well. Anybody else? Let's see here. Malik Monk, I think that's a pretty good shout out. Reed Shepard, Miles McBride. Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is not a bad pick. Grady Dick also. Santi Aldama, Obi Toppin, I don't think is terrible for a pick here. So yeah, that will do it for the sixth man of the year, which is the John Havlicek trophy. I don't want to forget to mention. I think I might have forgotten to mention the Clutch Player of the Year award is the Jerry West trophy. But that brings us to the champions of the league. Who's going to win the title? My title pick. Maybe I'll save this actually for after, because I'm going to do the conference finals too. So maybe I should start with those ones. Eastern Conference champs, I have the Cavs as my pick. Very close though between them and the Knicks. So they're like a top of the honorable mentions is the New York Knicks. And then right after them, though, a little bit of a drop-off, but I have the Magic, the Hawks, the Pistons, the Sixers. Yeah, so the Magic, the Hawks, I think are on maybe – I comfortably put the Magic over the Hawks. So I think it's Knicks, then Magic, then a clear drop to the Hawks, then another somewhat clear drop to the Pistons a little bit. Less of a drop there, though. And then from the Pistons down to the Sixers, just because of the unlikeliness of – them to get all healthy and gel well. And then the Bucks, just because of outside of Giannis, they're going to have some people step up for that to happen. But those are the teams I've listed as honorable mentions. Some of them much more realistic than the others. But regardless, that is the Bob Cousy trophy, by the way, for the Eastern Conference champs. And for the odds on that, let's see if we can find the odds for winning the conference. And yeah, I assume this means winning the conference in the playoffs. Like, I assume it doesn't mean just like the team with the most wins, like the team that's going to be the top seed in the conference. But it does have the Cleveland Cavaliers at plus 210. The New York Knicks are in second at plus 360. So same as my top two. And then the top three is also the same. Orlando Magic plus 650. Atlanta Hawks is who I had fourth. They have fourth at plus 950. And then this is the same exact order for the top five, at least. Pistons at plus 1,100. Then a really weird one. They've got the Boston Celtics in here at plus 1,200. I think that's a curveball for sure to have them over the Sixers. I think it's a little nuts. And especially the Bucks. Well, I shouldn't say especially because I had the Bucks under the Sixers. But both of those ones, I think, are a little wild. Bucks, though, plus 1,500. And Sixers are tied, I guess, with the Celtics at plus 1,200. But yeah, those are the top seven there, or top eight, actually, of those teams for the Eastern Conference Finals. Looking at the, maybe I should do the West and then come back to do the, no, I'll stick in the East. Eastern Conference MVP Award. So the Larry Bird Trophy is what that one is called. My pick is Donovan Mitchell to go along with my pick of the Cavs winning it. But I think Brunson might be even a better bet, to be quite honest, even though I would pick the Cavs over the Knicks. Brunson is more likely to be like, just because if the Knicks win it, it's going to be Brunson much more likely than it is going to be Mitchell for the Cavs. With the Cavs, I could definitely see Mobley or Garland even sneaking in there and getting it a little bit. But still, I'd probably lean Mitchell over Brunson just because of the pick of the Cavs. But I'm very close back and forth on whether or not I even favor the Cavs over the Knicks. So, yeah, Brunson, I think, is a very, very good pick as well. And then a little bit of drop-off after Brunson down to Mobley, Garland, Karl-Anthony Towns, Paolo Banchero with the Magic, Trae Young, the Hawks, OG Anunoby, another Knicks player, Franz Wagner, another Magic player, Cade Cunningham, first Piston I have in here, Desmond Bane, another Magic guy, Jalen Johnson, another Hawk, Joel Embiid, the first 76er I have in here, Tyrese Maxey, another 76er, Jalen Suggs, yet another Magic player. I feel like there's too many Magic players in here, but and yeah, that's crazy that I have Giannis after Suggs. I think that's a little crazy, but Giannis, the first Buck being represented in my honorable mentions for the Larry Bird Trophy. And looking at the odds for that, see, this is why I probably should have just done the Western Conference Finals trophy first, but Traveling back to the odds, I think they have that as an odds in here. Yes, they do. Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And yes, Donovan Mitchell is the odds leader at plus 360. So same as mine. Jalen Brunson is second at plus 500. And this is where it breaks from my ranking. Paolo Banchero is third at plus 1100. And then Trae Young, and then Evan Mobley, and Cade Cunningham. All of those guys are around a similar level. Joel Embiid, Jalen Brown, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Karl-Anthony Towns, Franz Wagner, Darius Garland, I think is a tiny bit low. But yeah, not bad here. Not bad at all. And then on to the Western Conference champs is going to be the next one that we look at. Winning the conference of the West, which is the preeminent conference at this point in the NBA. My pick is the Nuggets, and this is the Oscar Robertson trophy, by the way. My pick is the Denver Nuggets to win the Western Conference. I think this is probably going to be not in line with the odds. I think OKC will definitely be the odds leader. But, you know, I'm just kind of betting on a post-title complacency blues little season for the Thunder, just because that's the trend lately. Although I don't, every day that goes by, I don't feel very good about that prediction. But that is the prediction I'm going with at the moment and rooting for the Nuggets, which I don't think is that unrealistic. I think this is a very realistic title season for them. I think most people would probably put the Nuggets second, just regardless of conference, to win the whole thing, which I'm kind of stepping on the section I'm saving for last. But yeah, so my Nuggets pick is going to be who I have for the Western Conference champs, Oscar Robertson trophy. Honorable mentions, obviously leading it off with the OKC Thunder. They are by far the highest honorable mention here. And the rest, they're basically the honorable mentions. The Timberwolves I have here, and then the LA Clippers, the Rockets, the Warriors. And I guess I might tack on the Lakers maybe. And Spurs, I definitely am going to throw the Spurs in here as a honorable mention for the Western Conference title trophy. And looking at the odds, though, we've got the Thunder, who are actually not negative odds. They're plus 125, which I'm a little surprised by. Nuggets are plus 420 at second. Houston Rockets are third at plus 1,000. Clippers plus 1,100. Wolves plus 1,200. Same with the Lakers. Warriors plus 1,400. Spurs plus 2,200. So a bit of a drop-off before we get to the Spurs, who are tied with the Mavs. I think that's a little crazy for them to be tied with the Mavs at plus 2,200. But yeah, that is it for the Western Conference champions section. Now on to the Western Conference MVP trophy, which is the Magic Johnson Award. Gonna navigate back to that page. I wish this was a little bit cleaner for the transitioning in between. But regardless, though, we have the Western Conference Finals MVP odds in front of me now, and that is the reigning winner of the award, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in the lead here at plus 135. Jokic plus 420. So it's essentially the same. It's the same exact odds as the Thunder and the Nuggets have for winning the West, which I'm realizing just now that I am doing this in the wrong order. Once again, my pick is Jokic, obviously, because I have the Nuggets as my pick for the winners of the conference. And then SGA is my top honorable mention, with Ant from the Wolves, obviously, Wemby, J-Dub as a second Thunder player to throw in there, Jalen Williams, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Jamal Murray as the second Nugget to throw in here, and then Chet Holmgren as a third Thunder player. Kawhi is the first Clipper, Harden is the second Clipper, and then Jimmy is the second Warrior, is who I have listed as my honorable mentions for the Western Conference Finals MVP. And looking at the actual odds, which I already started to do, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plus 135, Jokic at plus 420, which, like I said, that's the same exact odds as the Thunder or their respective teams, you know, to win the Western Conference. And then Luka Doncic is third at plus 1300, tied with Anthony Edwards at plus 1,300 as well. And then Kawhi Leonard at plus 1,600, or 16-1, I guess is the easier way to say that. And then Kevin Durant, 17-1. Steph Curry, 22-1. And then a huge drop-off down to Jalen Williams at 35-1, tied with James Harden. Shango in a little bit of a drop-off. Wemby is a huge, I think, value bet here at plus 4,000. Not necessarily the number,
that makes me feel like that's a great value bet, but more so the comparison to like where he ranks in this, because this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th spot. He's 11th, and I had him as my fourth guy. So I feel like that's a pretty worthwhile, you know, thing to take a look at. But that will do it for the conference finals MVPs. On to the actual champs and finals MVP. For the champs, I have the Denver Nuggets to win the whole thing. Once again, just like they did in 2023. So it'll be 23 to 26 will be the gap there. But I think the Nuggets will get another ring in the Jokic era, and I think this might be the best year to do so. And then right after them, though, I have OKC as the clear, you know, next team honorable mentions, and Cavs and Knicks are the only teams I have listed as honorable. I think those four teams are above all the rest of the contenders: Nuggets, Thunder, Cavs, and Knicks. And let's see if Vegas agrees with that statement. NBA Finals, the Thunder are plus 210 to win the finals. So it's like similar to what they are to win the conference. The Nuggets are plus 700. Same with the Cavs. Cavs are tied with the Nuggets at plus 700. And then the Knicks are plus 1,100. And then not as big of a drop-off as I would think there would be, down to the Clippers at plus 1,800, which is weird that I guess the Clippers have better odds. Like, the Rockets had better odds to win the West than the Clippers did, but they're tied for their odds to win the whole thing, which I think is a little interesting. Yeah, then the Wolves, yeah, it's not as big of a drop-off as I thought, from 1,100 down to 1,800 between the Knicks and the Clippers. But yeah, that will do it for that one. And ending this off with the finals MVP, I'm going to look at my list. I have, obviously, Jokic as my pick here. So I have him doing, like, the double crown or triple crown, I guess, if you want to throw that in. So, like, he's the regular season MVP, the Western Conference Finals MVP, and the NBA Finals MVP, which is the Bill Russell trophy, I should mention. Obviously, the Larry O'Brien trophy is the NBA title award that I forgot to mention the name of. But as for the honorable mentions that I have written down for the Bill Russell trophy, I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the reigning champion of it, Donovan Mitchell from the Cavs, obviously, Jalen Brunson, and then I have Jamal Murray as another Nugget, Jalen Williams as another Thunder player, same with Chet, Ant as the first Wolf, and then Luka as the only Laker, and here as my honorable mentions for the finals MVP of the 2026 NBA season. And looking at the official odds, we have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at plus 2,300, not 2,300, wow, plus 230, which is... It's basically, yeah, it's the same as for the Thunder to win the title, essentially, plus 210. And then the Nuggets, or Jokic, is second, at plus 700, which is the exact same as the Nuggets' odds to win the title. And then Mitchell is plus 1,000. Jalen Brunson is plus 1,500. Luka Doncic is plus 2,200. And Anthony Edwards is plus 2,700. All of those guys I had listed in my honorable mentions. Kawhi is the next guy out, though. So he's over guys like Mobley, Chet, J-Dub, and Jamal Murray that I had listed in mine, which are, I can't even find them as I'm scrolling, which is kind of crazy. They're below guys like Joel Embiid, which I think is just wrong. That's just malpractice, to be quite honest. But that will do it for today's episode. Those are all my preseason picks that I'm, you know, that I'm doing on the third day of the year. But regardless, we'll just ride with it. I don't think it's against the rules, to be quite honest. Haven't seen too much. I know I've referenced some things that have swayed my thoughts on things a little bit from what we've seen from the first few days, but not a whole lot, to be sure. But yeah, excited for this NBA season. Hope you all tune into it and watch it as well and are entertained by it. Hopefully this is another year of the Nuggets. We'll be rooting for that here at the Hoop Theory Podcast, at least I will. But yeah, with that, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I will talk to you guys next episode.